website, splendidtable.org.
Do you want a cup of coffee that you're going to smile about all day? Well, believe it or not, the place to learn how to do it yourself is Japan. Yeah, Japan. You know, Tea Central. Now, this comes from James Freeman's new book. He has the Blue Bottle Coffee Company in San Francisco. And I think this guy has covered every way to get every nuance out of a coffee bean. The book is The Blue Bottle Craft of Coffee, Growing, Roasting, and Drinking with Recipes. And James Freeman, it's good to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Lynn. Thanks.
Now, you think of Japan as being a country of tea. How did coffee become so important?
Well, it started with the Dutch traders bringing coffee in from Java. They brought coffee into the port of Nagasaki. This was when Japan was a very closed society in the mid-1800s. But they were interested in learning about the outside world. They were interested in Western goods. And so that's where it began. And this sort of culture of artisanship and connoisseurship took root. And then the really, it's interesting, it's fascinating to me, the big push was with the Brazilian abolishment of slavery in what I think was 1870. Brazil was targeting Japan as both a consumer of coffee and a exporter of labor.
Huh.
So to this day, Brazil has a very large Japanese population. Japanese people started coming to Brazil to work in the coffee fields in the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s. And also there was a big importation of coffee into Japan, Brazilian coffee especially.
Now, you talk about in the book a particular coffee house that you go to. And you talk about it as though you were visiting a shrine. Could you talk about that?
Yes, it's Cafe Hatto. Chitai Hatto is the full name. It's near the Shibuya station. Shibuya is very frenetic and very Tokyo modern, but this is a few blocks away from the train station, and it's this island of calm. It's perfect. It's not a fashionable cafe. We think of new high-end cafes in the United States as being where fashionable young people go, and it's the very opposite of that. It's been around for about 25 years, and its clientele is you know, older than I am, and it's quiet, it's calm, it's kind of got a grandma-style furniture in it. And it's just such an island of calm where people are willing to take the time to make coffee in what they feel is the most perfect, meticulous way. And it's just so inspiring for me to see somebody take a moment before they even choose the cup that they're going to serve you coffee in. That's a big first step. You know, when you come in, you finally get seated, you know, there's this moment where they're looking at you and they're thinking about what you ordered, and then they look at this wall of cups that's behind them, you know, a couple hundred different china cups, and you can see the wheels turning. It's like, what is the correct cup for this moment, for this customer, for this coffee?
How do they actually make the coffee?
The way that I enjoy in this cafe is called Nel Drip, and that's the English translation of just flannel. It's this old-fashioned way of making coffee. There's a little flannel sack, cotton flannel sack, in a wire hoop. It's about 4 or 5 inches long. Some people call it a sock. I think that's a little indelicate, so I like to call it a sack.
Right.
Or a bag. And so the way the coffee, and it's a lot of coffee, maybe 40 or 50 grams for a 3.5 ounce demi-tasse. And they'll weigh the coffee out. They'll grind it quite coarsely. And then they'll take this swan neck kettle, which is a very delicate kettle, looks like an olive oil cruet with a tight little spout. And they'll manage the grind particle size, the temperature, how they're pouring in this flannel sack is all very much a structured experience. They know exactly what they're doing, and it's the amount of a lot of training and repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll just pour in a very leisurely, methodical way for, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 minutes.
So really?
It's a very, yes,
huh.
Yes. And it's hypnotic to watch. Clearly, they're concentrating very precisely and very, very fiercely on exactly how they're pouring this water through this hoop. And it's quite hypnotic just to watch, to know that they care so much about it, that they're willing to spend the time to do this technique in what they feel is the best way possible.
And what do you get out of this?
I get just this incredible density. The way they make it is quite a bit of coffee, not much water. The water temperature is quite low, and that's why the coffee doesn't taste burned or over-extracted or harsh.
Uh-huh.
And I get just this incredible density, this sweetness and this velvety thickness. You know, there's a certain kind of thickness that you get from a really, really dark roast.
Right, right.
But it's not that kind of, it's like this beautiful sort of cashmere scarf sort of coffee that the texture is what appeals to me the most because I feel like it's extraordinary. And then as it cools slightly, you get different layers of flavors one upon the other. So every sip is quite different. It's like, if you're drinking a very good wine, how it opens up in the cup as you're sipping it, it's a very similar experience.
So, and we can do this at home. I mean, I realize it takes practice, but we can. Is Enel expensive?
No, that's the lovely thing. I mean, you can get them if you look on the internet. We sell them on our web store for $26, and it's really quite an easy, cheap way of making incredible coffee.
Time, temperature, ratio, and practice, I gather.
Exactly. A lot of practice. Uh-huh. Emphasis on the latter.
James, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you. It's been fun.
James Freeman is the co-author of The Blue Bottle Craft of Coffee, Growing, Roasting, and Drinking with Recipes. Now, you can find information on the Enel coffee making system and a recipe for roasting carrots on coffee beans. It's by Chef Daniel Patterson. It's called Daniel Patterson's Coffee Roasted Carrots with Chicory Granola. You've got to try this one. Anyway, all of that is on the website, splendidtable.org.